Exam practice 4.
Good evening and welcome to our programme, Make a World of Difference. Today we're going to talk about virtual volunteering. You'll hear from people who haven't let time constraints, physical limitations and home obligations prevent them from getting involved. Juliet Wiles, Bill Begley and Evelyn Carson have all been able to make a positive impact as virtual volunteers. Let's find out just what they've done, starting with you, Juliet.
Hello, Bob. I've been a mentor for teenagers for over a decade. It's very exciting to work with young people who are at that age when everything is still a possibility. I spend several hours each week discussing books, offering encouragement, and talking about what drives them in life and where they want to be in 5 or 10 years. I help them define their goals and research college and career options. Even though all our discussions take place online, I don't feel it makes the experience less personal. After I've worked with somebody for a while, I get the same sense of their personalities as I would if I was sitting right across from them. I volunteered in the past in a face-to-face mentoring program, but online mentoring saves me the trouble of travelling back and forth. It saves time, too. I'm a senior editor for a financial magazine, and my employer encourages me to spend some of my working week doing online mentoring.
Thanks. I'm going to turn to Bill Begley next. Bill, tell us about what you do.
Hello. I'd worked as a nurse until my retirement a short while ago. Right after that, I started volunteering for one of our local non-profit organisations. The programme is called Reassurance. Every day of the year, I make several phone calls. I call elderly, housebound people in our town who live alone. I check in on them to make sure they are safe. As long as they answer the phone and are okay, I'm happy. And if they want to chat, I can chat with them. If they don't respond and I haven't been notified that they are away, I've got to take action. I call their family members, the security office at their apartment building, or the police. I ask them to stop by and see if those people are in trouble. The programme makes people feel less vulnerable, but also helps with their loneliness. These folks are very responsive and friendly, and they often tell me that they appreciate my calls.
I'm sure they do, Bill. And finally, Evelyn Carson, who joins us on the line from Austin, Texas. Can you hear me, Evelyn?
Oh, yes. You're coming through loud and clear. I'm 82, and I started crocheting baby blankets over 50 years ago, just before my first child was born. Since then, I've been making afghans and quilts for all my friends and family members. 7 or 8 years ago, I saw a notice in our local newspaper. It was about this organization that collects blankets and donates them to charitable agencies that serve the homeless or victims of various disasters and other people in need. I contacted them and asked if I could help. They were delighted. That's how it started. Now I spend around 1,500 hours a year crocheting for the group. Many of my blankets go to the northern states. They are given to the homeless or to people who are made homeless after some kind of disaster. I once watched the news when the president visited New Orleans after the hurricane. I'm sure it was my blanket I saw on one of the beds in the rescue center in that huge stadium.